Hello and welcome to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. With me this week is John Baldazira.
Hello.
I'm Joe Isles. We're back, kind of.
Yep, we're back because Sekiro brought us out of our dens to speak about games.
Yes. I'm in a new flat. We're both in my new flat.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit less echoey.
Hopefully.
I think so, yeah. My ceiling isn't quite as vaulted as yours.
No, that's true.
So how's it going?
Pretty good. Been playing a lot of games this year. Mm-hmm. Tiny games. Probably too many to talk about, honestly. Like, a bunch of old stuff that I've played for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of Super Nintendo games and Mega Drive games and things like that. But also, a lot of new releases. The four biggest probably being Kingdom Hearts 3, Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, and the aforementioned Sekiro. Which is very, very fucking good.
Yeah.
How about you?
I've played Devil May Cry and Sekiro.
You played Devil May Cry?
I played Resident Evil and Sekiro. Yeah. Same company, different game. I'm sure I've played Apex. Apex came out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It dropped out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, not really.
I mean, that's some pretty big games, like Sekiro and Apex.
Yeah,
How much have you played Apex? Because I know when it came out, you and Michael Thorne were playing it quite a lot, but are you opening up your...
Let's have a look. I think it's like 50 hours, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, so you haven't played much, just like that, and then like probably 40 hours of Sekiro. And...
Yeah. Oh, I've played a lot.
Yeah, but few games. Yeah,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know where to start. I could start with the worst of the bunch, which would be Kingdom Hearts 3,
Sorry,
maybe.
62 hours.
62 hours, that's not bad. But yeah. I wanted to play Kingdom Hearts 3 primarily because I was like, Square have been all over the place for a long time now. For a long time. I mean, since probably the PS2 days, if we're being honest. Like, I don't think Final Fantasy X was that great of a game. 12 was amazing. But I think they've kind of... I mean, that's just proof that, in my opinion, they've been... The quality of their games has been undulating pretty wildly for the past, like, maybe 20 years. Not quite 20 years, 19 years or so. And, like, with Nomura being in charge of the Final Fantasy VII remake, and obviously being deeply involved in those 90s Final Fantasy games as well, I was like, you know, let's see what he can bring at the table. And, so with that in mind, I was like, I really want to check out Kingdom Hearts 3 to see how a modern Nomura-led Square project would come together. And I don't know, man, like, people love that series, like, really love it. And I suppose this is the best way that I would describe it. Like, when I went to trade the game in after finishing it, the guy at the counter was like, oh, are you enjoying it? Oh, did you enjoy it? And I was like, and he was like, I love it so much. And he looked so happy and earnest and full of joy that I was like, you know what? I did kind of enjoy it. It was pretty good. Like, I couldn't, there's something really earnest about maybe... The Disney stuff isn't that great. That's what I'm going to say.
Mm.
It's all just kind of like awkward retellings of the Disney movies. And I don't really know what people get out of that. Like, I can't see the appeal of that aspect of it that much.
The modern Disney movies. Because like Hercules is different, isn't it?
Hercules is different, like, yeah. It's different. Like its own thing.
Yeah.
But and Monsters, Inc.
Frozen
told
Tangled.
Their own thing. But Frozen was just like... Frozen and Tangled were just retelling like worse versions of the movies.
Yeah.
With like little bits of like Sora interacting with him, but not that much really. And it was just like, I don't see the appeal of this.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of Disney's influence of like being very controlling around their IPs these days.
So. There's like a lot of interviews with the development staff that have come out being like, oh, Pixar were very specific. And like every week they were giving us notes on like the animation of Ratatouille's tail, or the rat from Ratatouille, I can't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
Like the animation of his tail and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, it sounds like they were really... hampered by that, but that's the game they're making, you know. They're making a game with Disney characters. There's no other way that can happen. But then, like, the original story stuff is beloved by fans. Like, the stuff with, like, Sora and Riku and all those lads
that
and lasses.
Nonsense, yeah.
And, honestly, it is as convoluted and as kind of, like, messy as everyone says it is. And I don't think it was told particularly well, but it was so... earnest at the end, and like the music hit in the right places, and like it was still nonsense, but I was like, yeah, like they're really pouring the heart into this, and I was like, I don't really like what I'm seeing, but like I respect it in its own way. Do you know what I mean? Like when I traded it in, that guy was like gushing about it. I was like, okay, like in another world, maybe I would feel this way if I'd played it since I was like 10 or whatever.
If you were like 3 years younger,
yeah,
it probably
yeah,
would
yeah.
hit right for you.
Yeah, because I was like 12 when the first one came out, and I didn't play it because I was like, I don't want to play a game with Disney characters in. But had I been 9 or 8 when it came out, yeah, like totally.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it. And the music's really great in that game. Like Shimomura did the music. And yeah, it is like well made overall. Like some of the pacing in the Disney cutscenes is just totally off.
Yeah.
Like it was obviously directed by a Japanese guy, so a Japanese team made the game. So I think it is all the cutscenes are all paced for that kind of like style of delivery. And while the dub's like pretty solid, like voice acting wise, like it just feels so slow and clunky and kind of weird, like the pacing of the cutscenes and stuff. But
yeah,
only in the Disney stuff. Like the last, I would say like the last 5 hours of the game's all Kingdom Hearts stuff, like all original, all the cutscenes and stuff revolve around Sora and his friends and stuff. Mickey and Donald are there or whatever, but it's not like other Disney IP are really involved in the last section. And the cutscenes like flow a lot better and make more sense, and like they don't feel like you're watching like a nursery program, like a nursery school program. And that's not an insult to the fans of Kingdom Hearts. It's more just a criticism of how the cutscenes are paced.
Yeah.
In the dubbed version.
I wonder if it's due to like it being originally Japanese and then Disney being very specific about how characters speak.
Yeah.
That maybe
they'll
have had to find like an awkward middle ground.
Yeah,
and it
just doesn't work,
happened.
I don't think. Yeah. I don't think at least. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, there's some weird stuff. Mickey casts Ultima at some point. That's pretty funny. Like the combat itself's like okay, like it's satisfying enough, much like I don't know, like the old Final Fantasy games are okay combat wise, you know, you heal, you attack, you get through, there's a satisfying rhythm and progression to it, but it's like kind of whatever. So I could see it working in a 7 remake. The one thing I hated about it was like the countering system and the blocking. You kind of had to block in advance of an enemy attack, and it was kind of like felt like a random kind of like pull of the slot machine to see if you would actually successfully block and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not amazing at games, so this isn't bragging, but like, you know, like Sekiro and Devil May Cry, you've got to be pretty on point with dodging and blocking and things like that. And I didn't have any problem in those games, so I'm guessing it was more of a Kingdom Hearts problem than a me problem, but I might be wrong. I don't know. I just never got the hang of that stuff. And even then, the game was really easy. I think it is just like you meant to use the Q spells and things, but like, it seems like a really unsatisfying middle ground between random blocks and active blocks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like it's an action RPG, but the active part of it, at least when it comes to blocking, feels way too sloppy to be viable. So it feels like it's kind of like a random block, like in a turn-based RPG.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that doesn't do it for me like at all.
No.
but at the same time, like, the teams obviously like put a lot of effort into this game, and I think it's pretty good. I wouldn't rate it as highly as like the kind of scores it's been getting. I don't really see why that's the case, but opinions differ, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's a solid game. It's fine. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, yeah. From what I've seen, it seems pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I'd say, like, my friend, I asked my friend from uni what she thought about it. She doesn't really play that many games, but she loves Kingdom Hearts.
Mm.
And she's had pretty much the same issues as you did with it in terms of, like, the Disney world feeling pretty bad.
Yeah.
Just being rehashes. The game being kind of... No, it doesn't play that well.
Yeah, it's fine.
That kind of stuff. It's kind of boring and repetitive to an extent.
There is cool stuff about it. Like, Sora moves really quickly. And like there's a lot of wall running and like light platforming and stuff, and the levels shift between like, oh, you're fighting a lot, or you're doing this little mini game. Like the pacing of the actual world is pretty solid outside of the cutscenes. Like I didn't really, while it was repetitive, I always had some kind of fun while I was playing it. I never felt that bored, honestly. I was like, oh cool, I'll run up these walls and fight these enemies, and there was a satisfying pace to it all, I think.
Yeah,
which is probably what kept me playing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's right about the Disney world feeling kind of like, just kind of pointless. Like, honestly, the best part of the whole game is a secret ending, which I won't spoil. But I would love to see them. These characters are popular. I don't really care for them much, but they're okay, whatever. I would like to see them just make a game with all the Disney stuff, honestly.
Sure. Yeah, I think you just make a new IP that doesn't have all this fucking baggage.
But has the same kind of combat, maybe tighten the block up. Uh-huh. But I could see them making a great game, and I'm definitely interested in Final Fantasy VII still. It didn't really instill a ton of confidence that VII would be good, but I was like, oh yeah, this game, VII will come out. You know what I mean? It'll come out, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it might.
It's not going to be terrible.
It might struggle for a few years to come out. It might end up being like 15.
I don't.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, but they've cut that game up into three parts, so the first one might suck. And they might have figured it out by the second part.
But the first one, the one you want to be the best, though.
Yeah, but then
it's got all the cool shit in it.
What'll likely happen, I imagine, is something akin to Final Fantasy XIV, where they were developing the new version of Final Fantasy XIV alongside patching the old version and making an actual decent game. Like by the end of the original Final Fantasy XIV's life,
it was solid.
Like people were like, "This is a good game. Like I would play this anyway because like it's very different to what A Realm Reborn turned out to be."
Yeah. I might just have to stay strong and just wait for all of the seven games to come out. But that's not going to happen.
But I can see them like... I mean, 15's been built out like crazy, hasn't it? They didn't fix everything. It's still got its issues, but they built it out a lot.
And so I guess like with 15, one of the major issues was like they were taking elements of whatever Nomura had planned for Versus and then kind of just making up stuff as they went along. They didn't really have a clear plan. Whereas Final Fantasy VII, the story's there, you know?
Mm.
Like, the basis of it's there, so...
Okay, let's stop talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Because it sucks.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing?
Yeah, it's not great.
What else?
Resident Evil 2, we both played that.
Yeah. I think you liked it more than I did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I think Michael's back.
Michael's back. It's fine.
Yeah, I really loved it. Like, I played it with Jess, and, I don't know, playing horror games with someone else is always fun, I think. Like, it definitely adds to the tension in a way. When someone else is getting really scared and you're both playing in the dark, I think it definitely adds to the overall sense of dread pretty well.
Mm.
And it adds pressure. Like, I play a lot of the Souls games with her as well, and I think having someone else watching gives you the extra pressure of like, oh man, I better beat this boss so we can get to the next area. Like, make sure this person's having fun, you know? And not just watching me die again and again and again. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes when people stream games are like terrible compared to playing by themselves, right?
Yeah.
There is like some kind of inherent pressure, I think, playing with someone else. So yeah, that game was very effective for me. But what problems did you have with it exactly?
Mainly that it just... It tried to be scary all the time. Like be full of pressure all the time. But once you got over the initial... Once you like kind of understood the game... That stuff just turned into an annoying small...
Like the Mr. X stuff, specifically.
That stuff, I think, like, taking 6 bullets to kill a zombie sometimes, like, that kind of stuff was just got annoying, especially if you played it in big chunks.
I think I played it in 2 sentences. Yeah. Like, and that includes the second playthrough as well.
Yeah, but that tied in with the Mr. X. It's like, sometimes, like, whenever you fire your gun, he figures out where you are and comes to you. He's like a big... Terminator kind of guy who chases after you through the house, the police station in the first third of the game.
Yeah.
And if you need to kill something to progress, it means you need to kill something, run around the entire office until he loses you, and then come back and actually do the thing that you want to do. You have to do that. Like, it's not so bad the first playthrough, but the second playthrough, it happens so much.
Yeah, because he's and, right there from the start.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It happens so much in the second playthrough. The safe zones are, like, spread out on opposite sides of the police station.
I understand that.
It was just like, ugh. I wasn't, like, stressed out. I wasn't panicking or anything. It wasn't scary. I was just like, fuck, now I have to run all the way around this police station again.
I don't know, like, I kind of like the fact that what that made me do is just like constantly be looking at the map and like finding the best route through the station to where I need to go next. Like, I really loved that stuff. I was like, right, I really want to get there as fast as possible to avoid like any enemy I can. And I really loved like mapping it out in my head and kind of like learning that station like perfectly.
Yeah, I didn't know it really well.
This staircase has collapsed, so I've got to go around this way, and like this door like only opens from the side, like just stuff like that, like burning all of that in my head was really satisfying, I thought. Mm-hmm. And like checking the map constantly, kind of making the most efficient plan. I don't know how I love that stuff, but maybe that is a benefit of playing with someone else, because like, well, maybe you should go to this room first, and like, yeah, figuring it out together, and like, it was kind of, I let myself get totally wrapped up in it, like, and didn't really treat it like, I suppose it is like gamifying it a bit and treating it like a game, being like, what's the most efficient way to game this game?
Well, no, but that's what I did, but with the mechanics, and it just made it
boring. Yeah, whereas I did it like, oh, we gotta get clapped.
Yeah, because like I figured out how the guy works, Mr. X.
Yeah. I kind of didn't.
Once I understood how he worked, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I just need to lose him, and then, like, the most efficient way without losing ammo or health, which is something that you really need to focus on in those games. That's like that's the best part of survival horror for me, anyway. The conservation aspect to it. That when I'm doing that, I'm going to do it as well as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the mechanics that they implemented made me play it in a really shit way.
I suppose.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of did it halfway. Like, I want to do it efficiently, but also quickly. Like, I want to conserve bullets, but I also want to get here in the fastest way.
Yeah.
So I can let some bullets fly here and there, whatever.
I did enjoy the game.
It's great three bits of it. Yeah.
I didn't dislike it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's just that stuff, really. Like, whenever Mr. X showed up, I was like, this is annoying. It wasn't like, oh no. I was just like, God, again, why?
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I don't know. I thought there was some pretty scary moments when he showed up, though.
Like, yeah.
One or two in particular that made me yell out loud, which is pretty good. Sure. Apparently, I sound like Seth Rogen when I yell. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I really like that game overall. Like, that and Devil May Cry really make me want to check out Monster Hunter, just so I can enjoy the entire Capcom renaissance of this generation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a good game.
Yeah, like, they've just been doing really well. Like, Devil May Cry 5 is the next thing I played, and it's just fantastic. It just plays so well. The character models of both, like, the player characters and the enemies and stuff like that, and all of, like, the particle effects of all the special attacks and stuff just look fucking out of this world. Like, some of the... It runs at 60 on the PS4 Pro. I think it might run at 60 on the base consoles as well.
I have no idea.
I couldn't say for sure, but it just looks so amazing and runs incredibly smoothly for what it is. It's insane.
Good.
Yeah. I really recommend playing that as well, honestly. The only downside is a lot of people complain about this in reviews as well, and I think it's pretty valid, is that the environments for like the last half, or even the last two thirds of the game, honestly, are a bit dull and repetitive. But whatever, man. It's honestly all about the gameplay anyway, and the spectacle of all the crazy moves you can pull off. And that stuff just looks great, like, the whole time. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Good.
There's a couple of boss fights in particular where, like, the focus is on countering. Or it seems to be on countering. That's how I got through it. And, like, there's, like, times where you're fighting, like, these, like, kind of big humanoid-looking enemies who also have swords. And, like, the swords are, like, clashing and there's, like, sparks flying off them. And, like, the motion blur effect on the camera when, like, the swords clash, like, the impact, the sense of impact that it gives you, it's just fucking unbelievable. Like, just this really, like, brutal, fast combat with, like, this... It just looks incredibly cinematic, even though it's also incredibly gamey, because it's a Capcom action game.
Yeah.
Like, it's really impressive. It's kind of hard to put into words. Some really cool stuff in there.
Good. I hear the cutscene thing is pretty cool.
Yeah, I just watched that on YouTube because I think it's only the special edition or the deluxe edition or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it comes with, like, the team recorded these, like, not placeholder cutscenes. They recorded these live action cutscenes from which they could use as reference material to build, like, the proper in-game cutscenes. And yeah, they're pretty hilarious. It's like just like these Japanese dudes, like, there's one character who has these spirits that he can summon. He summons, like, a raven and a panther. And, like, there's this Japanese dude with, like, a coat over his head flapping at, like, wings and things like this in these live-action cutscenes. It's really, really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Worth watching. But, yeah. But, yeah, I suppose the other thing I could say about it is that new character kind of sucks. The one who does summon the raven and the panther to attack.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't feel tight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really cool novelty, and I enjoyed playing as him the first time through, but when I played it again in hard mode, I kind of just wish I could have skipped his levels, honestly. They were just really dull. Dante and Nero both control so well and have so many amazing options for combat, whereas he just kind of feels like a novelty, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and while his encounters work, and it's really easy to get, like, high ranks on his levels, you can just kind of stand back and spam buttons, really, and it just, I don't know, it's hard to describe without, like, having, without you having played it, but you basically, like, press the triangle button, which is normally, like, a sword strike, to use the panther's melee attacks, and you summon the panther with one press, and then you can do your little combos and stuff with triangle, but the panther will be, like, off distant fighting enemies, and you'll be hanging back, and then the square button, which is normally, like, the gun button, summons the raven, and he'll fire things, and you can combo things like that as well, but it just, I don't know, it doesn't really feel like you're in there, it just kind of feels like you're, I don't know, it's not really, like, controlling, like, a unit in a strategy game, but it does have that kind of disconnect between what you're doing.
It's like Pikmin.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Like, it's not, but it that the disconnect feels similar. Like, it does not feel like you're directly controlling. And it does feel sluggish. I don't know if that's just the nature of the character or what, but the rest of the game feels so tight and is so much fun that, I don't know. It was a good novelty the first time through. And there's some pretty, like, cool flourishes to his character. Like, if you hold R2, you'll, like, flip open this book and start reading poetry from it. And, like, that's how he charges a devilry gauge. Like, I really did appreciate that stuff. And there's some really cool animations associated with his moves and stuff. But it's not all that fun to play compared to the other, especially compared to how great the other characters are.
Doesn't the next Platinum game have a similar kind of, you're a person who has a thing that they control?
I don't know. Yeah, like, no one knows. And, like, there is something like that.
Maybe they'll figure it out.
It does not look like that. Yeah, it looks a lot tighter from what I've seen of Astral Chain.
Okay.
But I don't know. We'll find out in, like, 3 or 4 months.
Does it come out then?
4 months. It's out in August. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. 4 and a bit months then. Yeah.
Cool.
Exciting times.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Anything else?
Apex, I guess.
Yeah.
It's probably the best Battle Royale game. Okay. I don't think it's quite the game that I want, but it's still, like, it runs well and it plays well.
Yeah.
And it feels good and it doesn't have stupid building mechanics that don't fit in, you know, like Fortnite. PUBG, like, kind of plays more like how I'd want those games to play, but it's so rough in so many aspects that this game is just the one to play.
Yeah, just like Titan. Sure. It's the Titanfall team, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, our studio at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like the gunplays from Titanfall, pretty much the same. Yeah, the running and movements similar to Titanfall. There's no wall running, which is a shame. Mm. But I think, like, they built it in and then disabled it because they were like, "This is too much.
It doesn't work.
This is too much." Yeah. So we'll see if they come up with new modes for things like that. But yeah, it just works so well. Like, all the pinging system that they brought in is really good. Like, it kind of feels like if Blizzard or Valve did, like, a dedicated Battle Royale game. You know, it's that kind of level of,
like,
polish,
high polish, yeah, high quality.
Of just, like, feeling really good, of making a lot of sense.
Awesome.
The systems feel like they work together really well.
I've heard that, like, they've built in some pretty clever ways to communicate with your team without having to use a headset and stuff.
Yeah,
that bit sounds appealing to me.
Like, so you can ping, like, enemies, areas. You can bring up a radial menu to be like, someone watch this way while I'm watching this way. You can ping items to say things are there. It's like a middle mouse button. I don't know what the button is on controllers.
Probably one of the sticks.
Yeah. If you're low on ammo, you can open your menu and click in middle mouse your gun and be like, I need light ammo or something. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, like, super in depth. I think the developers spent, like, a few months playing it without voice chat, being like, what are the things that we want to be able to convey to each other without talking to each other? And that's how they built the system out.
It's cool.
It works really well. It's really good.
Do you use a headset or do you just do the pinging?
I've mostly played solo, so pinging.
Okay.
I'm a ton of these kids. These 12-year-olds. I'm an old man.
Yeah.
I don't got time for this. I'm pinging.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. That seems reasonable. Cool. Sounds good. Do you reckon you're going to keep playing it throughout the year?
I'm
feeling a bit burnt out? Or
I'll probably keep playing it now and then. Like, it's just... It's like... it fills time, you know, when you don't have anything else to do. You're like, oh, what should I do? I'll play some Apex. Dota used to be that game, but now it's Apex, which is fine. Yeah, they brought out the first season battle pass. That's what they're called. It's apparently not very good, so I guess I'll skip that. It's just grindy. Like, I think I'm level like 30, late 30s, with 60 hours played, and the level up gets more exponential towards 100.
Yeah.
Like the amount of experience it requires. Of course, yeah. And then the battle pass is like a new 1 to 100, but the amount of experience you need to get from level 1 to 2 is like the same as 30 to 31 or something.
Whoa.
So it's just like gotta play a lot of this game to get everything out of it, or spend a lot of money. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna play it. The good thing though is that you don't have to buy it to earn the stuff. So you can like earn all the stuff, but you can't like get it until you've bought the battle pass. So you can level up your battle pass and then buy it and get all the things from before, which is cool if you want to find out if you're willing to dedicate that much time beforehand. But I am not.
Yeah,
people just say all the skins and stuff aren't very good. So
whatever, man.
Yeah, I really don't care about that stuff.
Like I'm an advocate. Well, I don't play multiplayer games, so skins and things are just like whatever. It's like with Sekiro, like there's a lot of people being like, you can't change the appearance of the character, blah, blah, blah. Like, it feel... Because a lot of people love that shit in Dark Souls, but I just could not care less about any of that stuff.
I do like that stuff sometimes, but I don't really care. Like, you can't even see your character most of the time in this game.
So
who cares?
For sure.
Gun skins, maybe, but most of them aren't very good anyway, so...
Yep, I'd just rather one greatly designed costume. That's enough. Greatly designed, you know what I mean? One well-designed costume. Yeah. That's all I need.
We gotta monetize.
Yeah, look at Dante's jacket, man. Why would you want to ever change that?
Red.
It's a great jacket.
Burgundy?
It's a great jacket.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
You want to talk about Sekiro?
Yeah, it's a good game. Finished it. You finished it too.
Yes. Yesterday?
Yeah, I took time off work and played maybe 45 hours and 4 days of it.
That game, for the first like 6 or 7 hours, I was like, I think this might be a bad game. Like, this doesn't feel right. Like, it's not playing right.
Yeah, what's you said that. On? Why was that? Because I didn't get that at all.
Because it didn't feel like I thought I was using the mechanics correctly and I wasn't.
Oh, okay, what were you doing?
I don't know. Like, I don't know why. I guess maybe I was like blocking late or too early, or I didn't quite understand why sometimes I could block and then attack and then it doesn't explain all the intricacies of the mechanics well.
Well, yeah, but and that's just part and parcel.
Sorry. Yeah, people keep saying that, but I don't think that's the case for this game specifically, because this game is very different to Dark Souls and Demon Souls and the way it presents that stuff. There's so many tutorials. There's a guy you can go and fight and
that's
practice
true.
All this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's like tips on the loading screens, which are actual tips and not just item descriptions.
Not just like really
mean
vague.
Nothing
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it goes pretty in depth in a lot
that
of ways,
that
in a variety
true.
Of different ways. It simplifies all of the stats and stuff, so it's really easy to understand.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, okay, and I'll figure out the combat. And like, around about, like, I started fighting Lady Butterfly or whatever. I fought for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And by the end of that, I was like, okay,
yeah,
I understand this game. It's pretty great. I kind of wish it explained itself a little bit at the start, just so I was like, oh, you meant to block all the time. It's okay if you don't deflect perfectly. As long as you're blocking, you're not going to take damage. You don't have to stress out about it.
I spend the first 5 hours of the game just jumping constantly, because Devil May Cry, the main way to dodge is jump, and I just played through that twice. It's like, oh, Devil May Cry, just jump cancel on all the bosses and just destroy them. So I had the muscle memory of just jumping every time like one of the perilous attacks came up. But basically enemies have these perilous attacks where like a kanji will flash up on the screen and they'll either thrust or sweep or try and grab you, and you've got a parry thrust, jump a sweep, or dodge a grab. And I just jumped every time for the first like 5 hours, so that was my kind of thing to get over. But I got over it eventually, and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
it feels so good.
It's just like up to that boss, like it felt like I didn't earn any of the kills on the bosses. Mm. Like, I was just like, oh, I scraped through every single one. And I'm not entirely sure how I did it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not sure what I did different from the time before. Yep. But, like,
but once after I just
sat there and learned it, yep. It was like, okay.
Yeah, clicked.
Yeah.
I think I like that game. I like the way that game plays way more than any of the other From Software games.
Mm.
Like, way more. Like, I feel that way about Dark Souls. Like, that, oh, I just scraped through it. Like, I do recognize enemy patterns in Dark Souls and learn, but not to the extent that I did in Sekiro. Like, yeah, a lot of them is just like, I just put lightning on my sword at the last minute and just chipped his health away just in time. Like, that's really my Dark Souls experience. And yeah. I finished them all. But a lot of them I did scrape through. Bloodborne, not so much. I felt pretty relatively competent mm-hmm. at Bloodborne. But Dark Souls is just kind of like, well, I made it somehow. Whereas Sekiro, it felt like...
It just feel like it you felt like mastery.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was way more rewarding. And I know you can play all of those games in that way, but you have to do that in Sekiro, it feels like.
Mm.
Like, with there being only one character build, it feels tuned directly towards that style of playing.
Yes.
And I much, much prefer that. I'll always prefer something tightly designed over, like, oh, you can do whatever, but it's never going to feel as good as if it was just one tightly designed character in a game.
Yeah, I guess.
Like... I don't know. I love Dark Souls and I love Bloodborne. Bloodborne's probably still my favorite just because of the overall atmosphere and story stuff. But I think Sekiro, in its own way, like in terms of boss fights, is definitely the best of those games, in my opinion. I don't think it's overall the best game, but I felt that rush that you feel beating a really hard Dark Souls boss. Maybe you feel that like once or twice in a Souls game. But I felt it about like 10 times in Sekiro, especially the last boss, which is just the most fun thing. The last boss is
really good.
So much fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like I finished it and I was like, okay, I'm done with this game for now. Yeah. And then like a couple hours later, I was like, I should play through this game just to get to the last boss, just so I can keep practicing over and over again.
Back up the save and a memory stick.
Yeah. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like it would feel so good to get through that.
It's really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my only other real complaint with it, I guess, is that the kind of character progression stuff that they kept in such a loose way from Dark Souls and Demon Souls.
Like losing currency when you die.
That, losing currency when you die... It
seemed pointless.
You lose half your money and half your experience points. And it just felt really annoying. It was like, oh, well, now I have to go and grind money to unlock the upgrades for Shinobi weapons, that kind of stuff.
Because there were so many checkpoints and stuff, it wasn't like, and it didn't give you the feeling like in Souls where you're like, oh god, it's been so long since a checkpoint, I've got so many souls.
Mm.
Oh, I feel so relieved to finally find a bonfire and be able to cash them in or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it never felt like that in Sekiro. It was just like, whatever, who cares? But on the other hand, the way the streamlined character building so that you got kind of like heart piece equivalent to beating mini bosses to mm-hmm. upgrade your health. Like, I love that stuff.
I like that stuff. I didn't like the stuff where you upgrade your attack. I think it should have just been flat. Because it lets you go in so many different directions.
Yeah.
And like you can grind against a boss and be like, I don't know if I'm bad at this and I can learn it. Or I just need to go fight that other boss, get my attack damage up and actually have a chance. Because like at least in the early game, it felt like I was grinding against a boss and I was getting nowhere. And then I beat another boss, got my attack damage up, and then
It's hard to tell like whether it was just you getting better at the game or not though. Like
it was like I went and beat a boss on the second try instead of this one.
Yeah,
and then came back and beat this boss on the second try after that. After spending like 2 hours on it, so like that. I did get better at it as a result.
Some of it's confidence, though. But sometimes you beat a boss and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to destroy everyone.
Like, it really wasn't that, because it was Lady Butterfly. I was getting all her health 90% of the way down before breaking her guard.
Yeah.
But once I got the attack damage up, I got like
half,
a quarter. Yeah, not even half. It was like a quarter of a health down and breaking the guard. And I was like, this is stupidly easy.
Maybe that doesn't sound great.
So I think if the game just... was like, okay, you have constant damage until, like, even until a certain point, and then they start introducing that stuff, it would have been great.
Mm. Okay. I can see that. But I think you could level the same criticism at the start of every Souls game. Like, they're always front-loaded, difficulty-wise. Like, all of them.
This game... Yeah, that's true. But, like, this game is, like, the only way to increase your damage is by beating bosses. So yeah. You're saying you just need to guess which one is the right boss. Instead of going out and farming souls or whatever. Yeah, there's different ways.
But that's exactly the same. You could make that argument about Dark Souls 1, though. Like, if you go to whatever it's called at the start, where you go down the steps into, like, the ghost world. I can't remember what it's called, man. Londor Ruins or something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? I know Michael's probably screaming from the other room.
The catacombs.
Yeah.
New Londor Ruins.
Yeah, that one, yeah. You can go there before you go to fight the gargoyles.
Yeah, but you can instantly be like, oh, I'm in the wrong place. Yeah, yeah.
Same with...
No, because I spent, like, hours on some of the bosses, and I was like, nope.
I should just try guns or else. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I don't think
once
I even...
Once I figured that out, it was fine, but...
The drunk guy killed me straight away, so I was like, I'm going to go back to the present. Yeah. And then by the time I got, I think I beat Lady Butterfly the first try or second try.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I didn't have that problem, but maybe it was just chance.
Yeah.
So, I can't really say.
Like, that issue wouldn't even exist if I didn't have to go fight Horseman first.
Sure.
Which you kind of have to do.
Yeah, probably. Probably. But, apparently.
Like,
yeah.
But why? Just don't give me attack damage increase and balance that boss the same way.
And then give the attack damage increase.
Because it's not more satisfying to grind it out, you know?
Like, I think one area where this slightly slipped up as well is that in the first third of the game or so, there's a lot of mini-bosses that you can kind of, like, discern the weaknesses by eavesdropping on other characters. Like, there's a mechanic where you can sneak around,
really cool.
Listen to other characters, and be like, oh, that guy really hates fire, or whatever. So you're like, okay, I'm going to throw oil at this next boss and then set him on fire. And, oh, it worked because I found out his weakness by listening. Mm-hmm. And they kind of drop that really quickly, I feel. Yeah. Like, the later bosses in the game, you don't really hear much of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's fine. Like, the bosses were fun enough as it was. Like, incredibly fun. Some of the best times I've had playing a game. But I really kind of liked that early game, like, reward for exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Little clues on how to beat bosses, and it would have been nice if they figured out more ways to keep that throughout the game.
Yeah,
because it did feel like it dropped really early.
Yeah, if they made more shinobi prosthetics to kind of
have
specific applications.
A lot of them do, though. A lot of them do, but like it would have been even with the ones that gave you, they could have figured out ways to incorporate that. Surely, like there's a poison arm. There's that weird divine wind thing where you can spin enemies around. They could have definitely incorporated that into some of the boss fights.
That's true. Yeah,
but mostly it was just throw firecrackers at them and hit them, which is fine. I still had a great time doing that.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to give you a little bit more incentive to mess around with the other tools, because there wasn't really that much incentive. It was more just about nailing the parrying and the ways to deal with the perilous attacks.
Yeah.
But hey, like, Bloodborne is just about dodging and hitting. You know? Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't need to be that complicated to still have depth and kind of, like, satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I absolutely loved, I would say, 95% of that game. I would say 100%, honestly. It's just, you know, could have been slightly better, maybe.
Yeah. I think... I don't know for sure, but like aspects of it felt like cutting corners because of time.
You think so?
Like reusing areas.
That's all those games, though.
Reusing areas? Sort of, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, like the secret boss at the end?
Mm-hmm.
That was just like weird.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
It was like, huh, this doesn't. They definitely crammed this in. Because they designed the boss and the fight, but didn't quite flow it into anything.
I mean, even Bloodborne, like, towards the end, like, it's all new areas, but the way you walk around to the final areas of Bloodborne never felt quite right as well. It doesn't feel as cohesive as something like Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
But even the last set of Dark Souls is nowhere near as good as the first half, because you're just branching off in different directions from the center, really. It's not like the first part where it's all looped together.
That's true.
Yeah. But all fantastic games. Yeah, it's a great game, though.
Yeah, I love it. The combat's
so much
pretty
fun.
Fantastic.
So
you use block
fun.
A lot.
Yeah, it's good.
Block.
It's nice. Yeah.
It's you know, I don't play Dark Souls with a shield. I don't block that much. So it's hard to wrap your head around it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might just die to the same enemy over and over again.
The dodge definitely doesn't have the iframes that it does in Bloodborne.
It's not as valuable at all.
Not at all. it's like a last resort a lot of the time when your parry's about to break.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Poise is about to break.
Sure.
Poise? Whatever Posture. It's called. Posture, that's the one. Yeah. Great game, though. Shall we do a bit of news and then wrap this up?
Yeah, we'll go quick.
What's going on this week?
What's happened recently? Persona 5, Royal got announced.
Yeah.
Announced, sort of. It's a teaser for the real announcement, which is also
teased, yeah.
Which is also teased, yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Good old Atlas. Yeah,
it's probably a Persona 4 Golden equivalent.
Yeah. It seems like the character that they showed, female character, is probably going to be like another social link.
Or playable character. Or a side story like Aegis in Fess.
Yeah,
yeah,
like a post game thing.
Could be, aye.
That would be cool because it did end quite openly. So yeah, like a post game thing.
Yeah,
would be nice.
More than the other ones, 5 ended like it could have a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Especially compared to 4,
mm-hmm. Which they did sequelize with a fighting game or two.
That doesn't really count. I ignore all.
Is that not
stuff.
Canon?
It's not to me. But neither is Dragon Ball after the Cell games. So mm-hmm. That's just how I live my life in ignorance. In willful ignorance.
Yeah.
Denial is maybe the better word.
Borderlands 3 got announced.
Yeah. Magic.
The character models look pretty good, but the environments still look like blurry messes.
I haven't seen
it. I was like, oh, maybe it'll look good this time. Because, mm-hmm. Those games don't have an interesting aesthetic, but they don't get the environments right at all. Mm. It's just thick lines on the outside and then just kind of like a blurry painterly mess that doesn't look good. And this game looks the same, shockingly the same as the previous ones, as if they looked at it and were like, yeah, this looks good still.
Great.
It's weird because it looks so bad. But the character models look cool as hell.
All right. I've never played any of those games. I played like an hour of one once.
Yeah. They're fine.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Not my kind of thing.
It's a schluter,
yeah.
As the kids say.
I don't like shooters that much, and I hate loot games. So,
What do you make of this?
Nothing. Like, we're looking at a story. Xenoblade Dev hiring for new Legend of Zelda project. They built the world in Breath of the Wild. They did most of the map, so it's just that. It's a Breath of the Wild sequel, probably.
Oh, cool.
Or, well, and by that, I don't mean Breath of the Wild 2 necessarily. It's just in the next open world Zelda game.
Yeah, so they're sticking with it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think
that can be built upon in a million different ways, and it'll also be really cool.
I mean, between that and, the three or four Xenoblade... How many Xenoblade games are there? 3. Like, they're really good at designing maps and making them visually interesting, for sure. So
Big old field.
Yeah.
Big mountain.
Yeah.
They looked at Hyrule Field from Ocarina of Time and were like, what if it was bigger?
Ah, Zelda's pretty good. Breath of the Wild's map's pretty mint, like.
It's alright.
The way it draws your eyes towards certain things without any use of any markers and shit. Like, there's some clever stuff in there for sure.
Blue glowy temples everywhere.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other stuff.
They're not markers.
Whatever, man. Breath of the Wild's not even in my top 5 Zeldas, so I'm not like a diehard fan. But
yeah,
you got to give it some credit.
I do. I like it a lot.
But that team's good. They're also like doing their own fantasy project as well. That's not Xenoblade related.
Mm.
And I think they got 2 of their own games on the go, plus helping out with Zelda. So yeah, they're a really good studio.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. In other Zelda news, I think Crypt of the Necrodancer is getting a Zelda game.
Yeah.
Which seems great. I don't know. I'm interested.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Codepad's coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, also in that little mini Nintendo thing.
Yeah.
Not interested, personally. Like, I thought that game was okay while I played a bit.
Mm-hmm. Looks nice.
Yeah,
it's called Cuphead. The main character is called Cuphead.
Yeah, it's great. Mugman. Yeah, I remember when they announced that at that Microsoft concert.
Conference.
And we were like, this is the best game ever. That was about 6 years ago now.
It was fine.
Okay.
I wasn't disappointed by it. Kaz Harai is retiring.
Yeah.
He
was in kind of like, I don't know what you call it. He wasn't in that much of an active role. He was like honorary chairman or something for the last year. Like,
chairman.
Like he stepped down as CEO a couple of years ago and he's just kind of being like in a, I don't know what the word is. Like an honorary position. Like it was his active role, but like he wasn't deep in like he used to be.
Yeah.
Like running the day to day business or anything like
know.
That.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the word is. It doesn't matter.
Who knows?
Yeah, but he's like full on retiring this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. Good for him. He saved Sony.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made the TVs affordable instead of like $8,000 or whatever they used to be.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah. Cool guy.
Reggie's gone as well. That happened since the last podcast. A lot of things have happened since
Bowser
the last podcast.
Replaced him.
Yeah.
Mental.
That's fucking mental.
Yeah. Reggie's probably got one direct left before he leaves because he's leaving.
I thought he left already.
No, he announced his retirement, but it's really soon. But people are holding out hope that there'll be one last direct that he'll present.
It's going to be the Animal Crossing direct.
Maybe. Or the Mother 3 direct.
Yeah. That would be so funny, man.
Be great.
That would be great.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger's Reggie's favorite game of all time, you know.
Really?
Yeah, he's got good taste.
Wow.
Maybe you could announce that for Switch. That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Google revealed the streaming service Stadia.
Oh, God, yeah. Probably the biggest news of the decade.
Potentially.
Yeah,
I mean,
potentially.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Google is that they make something, they're like, I can't be bothered anymore.
That's true. Google Glasses, they're gone.
Yeah, apparently.
Google Glass, sorry.
What's the difference? Apparently, I didn't watch it. I was at work when it was on, but the head of Google came out and was like, I don't really care about games.
Yeah, he did. He was like, I play like FIFA and some Brian Lara's cricket, but that's what it used to be called. Whatever the cricket series is called now.
Oh, man. They still make cricket games.
Yeah, apparently. Mm. Yeah. Didn't really instill much confidence.
No.
They showed some Doom Eternal. Oh, they didn't, actually. I think they showed it to the press, but in the conference.
Yeah, people played it and it ran poorly.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. In like 5 or 10 years, that probably will be the way that things are. But I think we got at least one more traditional console generation in us before then. So whatever.
Yeah.
See how it all pans out. It's going to be interesting to see what Microsoft and Sony do and Nintendo.
Nintendo keep doing the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll do their own thing. It'll be fine.
They'll make a Mario. Yeah. They'll make a Zelda.
Who knows how Sony will kind of adapt? Because they're a hardware manufacturer at the core, you know. But they also have some killer game studios at this point. And a lot of extremely valuable IP. So maybe they could pivot in their own way for sure. But it's just going to be interesting to see how things change.
Well, they have a streaming thing. It's not very good, but they're probably building
fine.
On it.
Yeah, it'll get better over time. But like, they don't have Google, like the infrastructure that Google have to support that, surely. But I don't know. They can invest in it. The PlayStation 4 is murdering still, so.
Yeah, they don't have Google money, though.
They don't.
Many do.
Nah, no. Yeah. No one does. And Apple. That's kind of a bummer, but
Apple announced a game subscription service. Yeah. I think it's for like mobile games, right?
Yeah. Sadoguchi's game looks nice.
Yeah.
It's got like to kind of mimic the look of like the pre-rendered backgrounds of the PS1 era.
Yeah.
Squaresoft games, like the built little dioramas and photograph them.
That's
build
cool.
It's a really nice looking thing.
I'll have to look at it.
So that seems potentially interesting, but I don't have an iPhone, so never mind.
Mm.
I'm not gonna buy an iPhone to play a weird Sakaguchi phone game, even if it is like pulling from that specific era of games that I love so much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sega announced a Genesis Mini.
Yeah. Well, I think they announced it last year, but they showed it this year.
Yeah.
Today.
70 quid or 80 euros?
40 games. And like the list of games they've got so far is really good. So far, like Gunstar Heroes on there, Castlevania Bloodlines, and then, you know, Space Harrier 2. It's a good game. I've never played Space Harrier 2. Comic Zone, it's okay. All the Beasts, which is terrible, but you need that on, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sonic, which isn't great, but of course you'll have Sonic on there.
Shining Force.
Yeah, that's Shining classic. Force. It's pretty good. So a good start. Like the fact that they got some third parties to fund there, like Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
Encouraging. Yeah. Get some Fantasy Star on there. Get some Panorama Cotton on there. Talking.
Those classics.
Yeah, man. Fantasy Star. Yeah.
Maybe not Panorama Cotton.
It's fucking great. It's better than Sonic, that's for sure.
Ooh, okay. of course, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020.
Yeah.
That was inevitable, really. Wasn't it?
They'll probably be there in person.
Yeah. For sure. And they're making an arcade machine for it as well. Which will be there during the Olympics.
I watched Akira this morning. And you know that fucking cool looking throne that Tetsuo sits in?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to be there. Is that actually an Olympics thing? Is there a big stone throne at the Olympics?
I don't know.
Because it's got like the Olympic rings on it. Like a I don't know. I hope it's there.
That was probably just there in Akira.
Yeah, because they're like, we need it for the Emperor to sit on.
And it'll look cool.
Emperor Akira, which only happened in the manga, I guess.
Yeah.
But it does look incredibly cool.
Mm.
So I hope that's real.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Akira happens. You want Akira?
No, I just want the throne to be there. Abe can sit on it. With a red cloak draped around him.
Or like someone in a Pikachu costume.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Aye, good stuff.
Valve announced their own VR headset. So that's not built by HTC.
Okay.
It seems like it's going to be... It's not going to need like the lighthouse sensors.
Mm.
It's got cameras on the front of it. If you can have a look at this picture.
Yep.
Obviously, you can't look at this picture. Yeah, it's got...
Do you know what I'd
camera
really...
sensors, so it seems like it's similar to the Oculus, whatever it's called, the new Oculus device that's coming out.
I really wish, I know it's impossible, Quest. I know it's impossible, but I really wish VR headsets were like TVs, in that you could just buy one, and then you could use it with your PlayStation 4, and you could use it with your PC, etc., etc. That would be amazing. Because, like, Sony has a lot of interesting exclusives on there, but obviously it's not quite... The fidelity is not as good as the PC stuff. And
yeah.
It would be nice if you could just buy one of these headsets and have access to it all. Like, the way you could just buy a TV and plug all your consoles into it.
Hmm. I can see that happening eventually.
Yeah, I think that...
Mad Cats will bring out one.
Be fantastic. I mean, it'd be good for everyone, right? It'd be good for Sony, too, because they've got some great VR stuff going on, like that Astrobot and shit.
Yeah,
like they can make money selling games. You know, they don't need to. I don't know, maybe, but that's a very naive way of looking at it. I don't know how the business shakes out. I don't know how the technology works.
Yeah,
but that's the future that I would like to see.
Yeah, I imagine this one will be like, I think that's primarily up to Sony though, really, because like Oculus.
What about the Labo? What about Labo VR?
Yeah, maybe not. Like Oculus has their own shop. That's probably where they want to make money. But Valve, like, don't really care that much. I'm sure they'd be fine with people using it on a PlayStation.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, they're just interested in building new shit. But this seems like I'm guessing it's either going to be similar price to the Oculus Quest, so like $400, or it's going to be like $2,000. There's no in between.
Yeah, sure.
It's either going to be like unbelievably good or just like kind of in the middle, probably not as high quality as the Vive, but you can just put it on and play instead of having to set it up every time.
Yeah.
I assume it's going to be wireless as well.
Cool.
Would be cool. They've been developing that for a while. So we'll see.
Yeah. VR's trundling along.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it gets good.
You've been playing some VR recently.
Oh yeah, I did play VR for the first time. It's mint.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah. I've been playing PSVR because Michael has it. And it kind of feels like you're in a different world and wearing scuba goggles.
Yeah.
Because like you don't really get a great view of everything. And you can very clearly see the outline of the screens. Or the screen... around the outside anyway, because you know you can't see the middle bit. But like it works so well, it feels amazing. I've been playing Beat Saber and it's just like, wow, this game's like incredible.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I could play that game like at any point. I would be like, yeah, I'll play some Beat Saber. Yeah, I didn't have to set it up every time.
I played 5 minutes of it while pretty drunk and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
feels so easy and so like responsive and right.
Yeah, it does.
Strange.
It's that move, PlayStation Move technology one.
Yeah, classic. great job, Jeremy.
And came around with a little mashup trailer and that with the "I like to move it." Man,
I do.
I can't believe, like, if I could go back in time and show myself the Sony conference last year, that we were like, that was underwhelming. Mm-hmm. If we could go back to that era and get a conference that good, just become spoiled now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were some rough years, for sure.
They were.
Some really rough years.
Are you excited about The Elder Scrolls 6, John?
No.
Are you excited about Starfield?
No, but I'm intrigued by it.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Okay.
Why? Because they're not going to be at E3.
Really?
Like, neither of them are going to be there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, of course.
Well, Starfield isn't. That's the next one out.
I would imagine maybe, here's my prediction, either Sony or Microsoft have that locked in for the PlayStation 4 and or next PlayStation 5, sorry, and the next box reveals.
Ugh.
I don't think we see Final Fantasy 7 until those consoles are revealed as well. Like, I think those games are all next gen at this point, so they're just saving them. I don't think we're going to see much big this year at E3.
Yeah. I guess
unless the consoles are revealed.
That is entirely possible. Yeah. Right.
Plus, like, those games are always so far off. So, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if there was a headline where it was like, Nomura says Final Fantasy VII Remake is not at E3, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I believe it. Like, this is about the same amount of
It's been so
shock.
Long, though. It's been so long since the last...
Far 4? 2015?
16, I think. So like
three years.
Ah,
it must be.
2 years.
That's not long.
Is time traveled that fast? 2015. Holy
so
shit!
Four, coming up to four. It'll be 4 years.
Three and a half years. Yeah.
That was a while, and that was the same like shitty engine as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. don't forget Fallout 76. That masterpiece came out too.
That was just a few months ago.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same development team.
No.
No.
Oh, you would hope not. But, yeah. I don't know. That seems right. I don't know. I can imagine that being a next-gen thing. I mean, it is a next-gen thing, isn't it? So
I guess.
Whatever.
Come on, PC first.
Probably not.
anything else? Any other news that you feel is of import?
That new Sakura Taisen game looks really good.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Yeah.
Bleach artist.
Yeah.
Tite Kubo, is that right?
That's right.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tight.
Yeah, tight. I like his artwork.
Yeah, so he's done the character designs, right?
Yeah.
Just the main characters. Or
I assume it's just the main characters.
Yeah.
They look like Bleach characters. So that's okay. Bleach is pretty cool for the first like 6 books. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that game. I need to play all the old ones first though.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else that's happened recently. I'm sure stuff's happened, but
probably
I just
loads
don't care.
Of stuff. Yeah. That's probably enough.
Don't care enough, yeah.
Alright.
Yeah, that's it. So thank you for listening. It's been...
Thank you very much.
Pretty brief. Not bad.
Yeah.
We
fit a lot in.
But today.
Yeah. It's a bit Kubo.
But
Michael's probably bored of listening to us.
Yeah,
so
I think I've got headphones on. Okay. Alright. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you some other time.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.